single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Saturday, the 24th of March. Here we are at the end of the week, preparing ourselves to worship God tomorrow. There is a very special time in a person's life when they may feel challenged by others. And so often a pastor or a leader is someone who feels that challenge, and so often they're feeling alone in their struggle. Here in this passage, Paul is going to encourage the church at Corinth that they've got to realize how they conducted themselves. So for a point today, I want to ask you to examine yourself. How do you conduct yourself in relationship to those who lead and give you the gospel? See, it's in Ephesians 4, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, He, speaking of Jesus Christ, gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And their job, it says in the next verse, is for the equipping of the saints to do the work of service. Now, we recognize that those who have the gift of mercy come around those who are needy and struggle. And so we all have to understand that our apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers also need people to come around them in their challenges, in their times of struggle. Paul wants to lay out to this church the way they conducted themselves. And I pray that what he says about the church at Corinth may never be said about you, that you will lift up in prayer, lift up in support, those who give leadership in your community of faith. May God instruct us through this passage today.
Second Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 through 21. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. How are you inferior to the other churches, except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have, and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you. Yet, crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent you? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not act in the same spirit and follow the same course? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged.
Here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look here, beginning at verse 11 for a few verses, and read what Paul is saying to this church. I have made a fool of myself, because he didn't want to boast about his own personal experience, and he didn't want to have to do that, but to establish his authenticity as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he needed to share with him this idea of his struggles on their behalf, and also that he received a revelation from God. He goes on, "But you drove me to it," because they were looking at other people. They drove him to this because they were looking at people who were being very polished. And I would say in our culture today, it would be somebody who is a poser, somebody who pretends to be. It goes on, "But you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing." See, those super apostles, those who posers, wanted to say, hey, how great they are, but for Paul, he recognized that he was nothing at the foot of the cross. He stood on that same ground everyone else did. He was not mightier than. And so that he was just nothing before God. But he allowed God to work in him, and that was the great part. Now in verse 12, it says, "I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. How were you inferior to the other churches except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me, this is wrong." What's he talking about here? How was it he conducted ministry there? He performed miracles and signs, but he was never a burden to them. You see, at the church at Corinth, Paul did not take any sustenance. Nothing was given to him to provide for his living. And that's the role the church plays with their apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Today, the role is to support them in their work and in their lives. In their needs of daily sustenance, they were to provide that. But Corinth never did that. And here Paul recognizes in some ways that that may have been a mistake. It may have caused them to just accept a free gift. And you know how valuable free gifts are. You can give your children something that's very precious, an heirloom from the family, and you just say, here's a gift for you. And it's to them just free. And it doesn't cost them anything. But I remember the day that I went out and I was able to draw out from the bank enough money to go down and at a jeweler purchase a ring to ask my wife to marry me. Now, that had cost me a portion of all of my salaries up there. It cost me something. It was a value. And for the church at Corinth, all the ministry and all the work that Paul had done, it was nothing. They took him for granted. And quite often, that's what happens, that things we receive for free, we take them for granted, and we don't think much of it. That's where Paul was wanting to shift in these people's minds. He also wanted to recognize that he had never exploited them, but in these other teachers, they had exploited. And it goes on here at verse 17, "Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent to you? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not walk in the same footsteps by the same Spirit? Was not Titus' message to these people and his work among them, was it not just with an open heart to share with them? But these people took it for granted." And there's the struggle that Paul recognizes in the church at Corinth. And I would want you to examine yourself. How much do you invest in the ministry that you're involved in? What do you do that it somehow becomes valuable to, not just a cheap gift? Bonhoeffer, during a period of time, wrote a very wonderful dissertation, and he used a phrase, something called cheap grace, that when we recognize the gift that God gave to us through his Son. And it's a free gift. How do we treat this salvation? As you draw near to this Passion Week, and as you remember what it cost Christ, what it cost God to give his Son to pay the price, it was something so valuable. But Bonhoeffer challenged us and said, you treat it cheaply. Paul was being treated cheaply by the church at Corinth. How do you treat the gifts God has given into your presence to build you up, your teachers, your pastors, your evangelists, your prophets and your apostles? Do you honor them? That's a challenge for you in the church today. As we come to the end of this passage, I want to share with you a concern that I have. I must tell you that through the years of ministry, my heart was broken at times. When I would labor with someone, when I would pray with somebody, when I would drive and do things to help and build them up, and to watch them turn their back on the Lord, or turn their back on the community of faith, that broke my heart. In this passage, as we read here for Paul, he shares with us a part of what will grieve him when he says, I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented. What is the message that those leaders give to you? Do you see and allow the Holy Spirit to use it in your life to shape you, to change you, to transform you? Folks, you aren't there yet. You're not what God intended. You're still a work in progress, as I am. But it grieves a pastor when he sees week after week his congregation not receive that message and move in their life to follow Jesus Christ more closely. I'll pray for you today. Lord God, I pray that we would be sensitive and we would receive the message from those who lead us, our pastors, our leaders, our teachers. Lord, may we receive their message and by your Holy Spirit, apply it into our lives so that we would be transformed. We would become the children of God. We would become Christ-like. Lord, work in our hearts this day in your precious name. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world that's stepping in closer.